followed the story of the Phantom of the Opera? Have you listened to it? You're looking at me amazed. I've watched it about 6, 8, 9, 10 times. Some songs in it that echo. Well, I better give you a little bit of a background then. In the Phantom of the Opera, the phantom who hides away in the theatre house has a mask on his face. It hides how horribly disfigured his face is. And he lives there, right in the bowels, right in the depths of the old opera house. And everybody hates his presence and his bitter things, bitter actions that he does. But there's a lady, a woman. She's the star of the show. Her, in the Phantom, she's Christine. And she affects him in a most remarkable series of incidents. And then we'll touch here. Touch his heart. Because she wants to take off the mask. She wants to change this individual. And the climax, I don't have to tell you all the story. The climax of the story is the moment when the mask is taken off. It's a moment when the man, the phantom, chooses to be seen and known as he is. You see? He knows that his face is hideous. He knows that his face is repulsive to other people. And the phantom takes off the mask, and Christine is standing there and he's waiting for her to scream. He's waiting for the shouts that will betray fear and terror. He's waiting to be repulsed. She doesn't do any of that. She just reaches very gently forward and touches the damaged, the hideous, the ugly, the repulsive thing. And she kisses him, gently kisses that scarred face. And in the wonderful part of the story is this, the phantom realizes, you know, that love changes everything. He can let her go, give her the freedom he thought she needed or wanted, and so on, all that. You see, when the mask came off, Christine could penetrate and touch his heart. And that's one of the loveliest songs. Get to hear it being played. Listen to it. Love changes everything. Luke told the story of Zacchaeus, and he was disfigured. Oh, I don't mean with a distorted face. He was a wretched man. And he was hiding behind his mask was wealth. He got money. He was a millionaire, a multimillionaire of his time. You see? I want to tell you about Zacchaeus. In Israel, there was a list of jobs, and you certainly wouldn't make them your career choice. And on the list was a guy who was a tanner of skins. Another one was the dung, the waste, the rubbish collector. And he let down the dung and so on and went outside. But on the list, you see, there were other things. If a woman's husband became a dung collector, she could divorce him. You see? And get a financial settlement. you see. But in that list, you'll find some jobs that are not only unpleasant, but they are immoral. They were to be shunned. You were never to touch them. And you know what was bottom of the list? Was a tax collector. And they say, why should that be banned? Well, Israel was an occupied territory. Rome was the mistress of the world. Rome was only interested in how much money they could get out of a country. And so tax collectors, Jewish tax collectors, were despised as traitors. In effect, they had sold out their brothers and sisters to the enemy. And it meant that the tax collectors would be guilty of massive dishonesty and exploitation because they constantly cheated the people. And as a consequence, under Jewish law, they were deprived of any political and civil rights. They were not allowed to serve as a witness in the courts. They were not allowed to act as judges. And a devout Jew would not even allow just the tip of his gown, just the bottom fringe, even to touch a tax collector. You see? If you want to get a feel for it, think of the drug dealer. Think of the hitman. You see the picture yesterday? Up in the north of England? Masked, black hooded young men with their guns firing the distance that Hugh is from me, who were firing back. That was here. But come back here into this, you see? And if you want to think of the biggest crook that the newspapers have exposed, think of that name and you think of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus has got the job that makes him that kind of man. Now, we don't know much more about him than that, except this one physical characteristic. He is a small man. Now, let's go back to then as now. For a man to be considered physically attractive and one you'd like to be with, he's got to be tall, dark, and handsome, just like me. Oh, I made a mistake there. Are you with me? I'm building a picture for you because all over the years, we've got an image about Zacchaeus. And I want to tell you why this is one of the most amazing encounters that Jesus had, because this guy is a short man, he's vertically challenged in modern language. And so I ask, what motivated him? It's because he's a small man. Did he decide, I'll show them? Because I'm a big man after all. Whatever you think about me, you see? And so he'd become the tax collector. And he was good at tax collecting, about cheating others, because he was the chief. He was the boss man, the number one guy amongst all the tax collectors. And he was a wealthy, rich man. So that almost certainly meant then he was corrupt. You see, he'd given up on society, on friendships, on decency. And he had the idea that if you have enough wealth, you can do what you want to do and be what you want to be and so on. But Zacchaeus, for all of that, knew something was missing in his life. And this is the day that came when the news got around that Jesus of Nazareth was going to pass through their town. He was going to walk his way through Jericho on the way up to Jerusalem. Now, the strange thing about the tax collector, Matthew, remember, was one. And he changed. He'd been changed by Jesus, you see. And when Matthew was changed, by Jesus, he threw a party. A party for any tax collector that would come along. It was a free meal on him. And Jesus went to that. Now, the religious leaders challenged Jesus about doing that kind of thing. Why do you eat with tax collectors and drink with them? And Jesus said, I didn't come here to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Had Zacchaeus been at that party? I don't know. He certainly would have known about it. And Zacchaeus wanted to see the man who would hang about with people like himself. Have you got it? Look at him. Look at the crowd. How on earth can I get that? If Zacchaeus had gone amongst the crowd, it wasn't a knife thing then, but almost certainly he would have been bumped, he would have been kicked, he would have been punched, he wouldn't have made much of himself. They wouldn't let him in. Now, all of that is, I want you to get it as a prelude, as what makes this story. It's another thing. He did something that no wealthy man ever did, and no man ever really did. He ran. He went running down the street. And then he climbed up the tree, up this sycamore tree. And I don't know whether it was to hide in the tree or what. Now, the mask is still on at this point of time. He wants to be known, but he's scared to be out in the open. Now, the scripture talks of the whole crowd. There are hundreds. And then this crowd is coming. And he's in the tree. You see? And that's when Jesus stops and looks up. And everybody thinks he's going to get his comeuppance. He's going to be dealt with. But what's going to happen is that Jesus has sensed his loneliness, his emptiness. And it's the most powerful, wonderful, awesome moment. Because one of the things Jesus is doing is treating him with courtesy and respect and kindness. Not only in speaking to him, but saying, I'll come home with you. I'll come home with you. You see? And he would sit down with him. And he'd eat with him, and he would talk with him. Now, everyone else is shocked, confused by that. But Jesus came to change lives. That was his job. Jesus was here to touch Zacchaeus in one of the most remarkable ways. Now, I ought to just mention how the whole mob is grumbling. And then Jesus said, I'm going to go to your house and stay at your house. Hey, I don't know what to say. You see? Because this takes me beyond what I would have expected. But this is what Jesus does. He shows grace, he shows love, he shows power. He goes to loners, he goes to losers, and they welcome him. There was a dying thief on the other cross alongside him. And Jesus says, I'm going to be at your house today. I must be at your house. Just like he said to Zacchaeus, today you'll be with me in paradise. So let's show you three things, three simple things from this. Because Zacchaeus comes out of hiding. Zacchaeus takes off his mask, just like the Phantom of the Opera. That hideous way of living that was disfiguring his whole life. The mask of sin and selfishness. He's a lost man. Jesus summarizes, salvation has come to this house, a son of Abraham. He was a Jewish boy and he'd lost everything. And if you ever go to New York, I'll tell you where to go to a particular cemetery. Because in the cemetery there in New York, there's a tombstone. It only has no name on it. No details. Just one word. Forgiven. Forgiven. It's become something of a spectacle. And the first time I picked up this, I realized I was looking at one of the greatest words that could ever be applied to a man or a woman or a boy or a girl. Forgiven. The psalmist tells me, there is forgiveness, Lord, with you, that you may be feared, that you may be obeyed. First word, Zacchaeus gets a new appreciation of life. Up to this point, he's only been thinking about what's in it for me, and Jesus comes into his life. And when Jesus comes into your life, that sparks and ignites a change of attitude. There's more to life than what you've been looking at up to that moment of time. Do you know, when I read the story of Jesus, I'm fascinated how he talks about candles and coins and flowers in the field and sparrows tumbling from the sky and seeds in the hand of a sower. And then the wind and the grass in the field. And he wove them all into a message that he'd come to give about a God who cares about you. And so, as he wove those things together, and he's doing it just here with Zacchaeus, a weak, vacillating individual can come and be changed. He did that with Peter. Everybody sees Peter as impulsive and opens his mouth and puts his foot in it. But Jesus saw the man who could change the world. He saw a man who could preach on Pentecost Sunday a message that would sweep thousands into the kingdom of God. And so he kept on talking to folk like you and me. And he talks about a cup of water. He talked about a lily in the fields, the commonest Palestinian flower you can see. How he saw in the lily a glory greater than Solomon's. How in that tiny little mustard seed, the tiniest seed, you can, if you try to pick it with your hand, it'd pop out. He saw the kingdom of God. How he had some children, and they just were by him. He said, do you see this? This is how you get to be in the kingdom. And this is the day when Jesus walks into Zacchaeus' life, and he's suddenly got a new appreciation what it meant to belong to Jesus. Many of us, maybe only Tasha and maybe a couple of the girls here, do you know who Mick Jagger was? Is? You don't know. They're shaking their heads. Ain't got no satisfaction. You remember? That was Mick Jagger. I could tell Mick Jagger when it is. You see? Because he'd reached the same conclusion as the man in Ecclesiastes. You can have great food, you can have great sex, you can have boundless fame, you can have endless wealth, you can have enormous power, and got not a bit of satisfaction. You see, they're trivial. You see? Do you know, one night, it was Toscanini was the conductor, and he was leading the Philadelphia Symphony in Beethoven's Ninth. If you don't know, it doesn't matter. It's a beautiful piece. And it's a very difficult piece to direct. And it's even more difficult to play. And this particular night, it was a majestic moment. Everything clicked. The audience stood. And they stood for about 10 minutes with rapturous applause. And Toscanini takes up his baton again, and with his back to the orchestra, the people who've given this brilliant rendering, he says, ladies and gentlemen, I am nothing and we are nothing. And Beethoven is everything. I know a man, his name is Jesus. I am nothing. All the churches I know, we're nothing. But he, Jesus, is absolutely everything. And that day, the first thing Zacchaeus got to know was he appreciated that, that Jesus is everything. No matter what he got, Jesus was everything. And then the second thing is, appreciation led to evaluation. Because the way Jesus evaluates things, the Bible says, turns the world upside down. But that's actually turning it the right side up. See, there are things more important than your wealth, more important than your position, more important than your pounds and whatever it is, and your euros and so on. Helping others is important, rather than feathering her own nest. And Zacchaeus starts to say that where he's cheated, where he's hurt, where he's antagonized people because of what he did, he's going to give back 4 times better than ever before. I hear a Bible verse. You see, it's out of 2 Corinthians 5. Any man who is in Christ is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. You see, transformed by the renewing of our minds, says Romans. Hey, do you see yourself? So many of you have trusted Jesus. You had that appreciation, then you made that evaluation. There was a better way of living. And here we are. We got a wonderful contemporary song. When I look upon the cross where you died, I'm humbled by your mercy. Can you finish it? I'm broken inside. I'm broken inside. I've got to live another kind of way. And I've learned over my journey that I love because he first loved me, that I care about others. There's nothing quite like the change that Jesus brings. I got one more word. He came to a new appreciation, made a new evaluation in his life, and he found a new motivation. He's converted from selfishness to self-giving. I give half of what I own to the poor. When Jesus comes into our lives, you can't sit still. You've got to change. You've got to do things. God is a passionate God. And here, he cares deeply. A preacher like myself, Jerry Meyer, he put it like this. He said, he was talking back to God. He said, your word, your message, your word burns in my heart. I can't keep silent. You see, you find a new motivation. You find a new champion to cause, whose cause you can live for. You see, and all how we need it in our time. How are we going to bring back the folk we've lost? How are we going to change, get a new motivation? Because you have a new appreciation, a new evaluation, now a new motivation. I could tell you what is essentially a true story about a missionary in the days of Howard's son, got shipwrecked on what was then a remote island. They nursed him back to health. He was rescued from the boat. And for 20 years, he served there. He lived amongst them. He ministered to their needs. When they were sick, it was the minister, the missionary, who nursed them back to health. When they were hungry, because of the limited way they did things, he taught them how to grow food. And when they were lonely, because of what had happened in the tribe and so on, he would be there for them. When they did things wrong and they needed help, he helped them and cared for them. Now, if you can spin on, actually a rescue ship came to that region. Other missionaries who came, just like we went to Kiribati, like I went to the Solomon Islands, why I went to the Marshall Islands. I would go for 4 or 5 days. These went, it was really from the States, to set up a work. And they began to talk about Jesus. And they said, he lives here. He lives here. Well, you can imagine what they thought about that. And they were introduced to Jesus. It was our man, our castaway, our man who just about survived the shipwreck, but who had lived there for the 20 years. And they realized he was the man that their mission and their organization there in the States had thought was dead, had been lost at sea. And he was their friend, although older, as they were older. See, I want to just make a statement. People are always much more impressed by our actions than by our words. Jesus walked into Zacchaeus' life that day in Jericho. He began to appreciate things were different. He began to evaluate how much better they could be, and then he was motivated to change his world and the way he did things. And do you know why I came to tell you? Because the Jesus who walked through the door, that unintended consequence where they locked him out, but he still came in. And the Jesus who walked on the water is the Jesus that goes to Zacchaeus, helps him to appreciate and evaluate and be motivated by another way of living. It's breathtaking. It's a life-changing moment when you let Jesus come and confront you and say, I'm coming home with you. I'm coming home with you. I want to stay at your house today. And I look at you, and to all of you, I want to tell you, appreciate, evaluate, and get this motivation. Jesus wants to go home with you. Take up residence in your life, in your home, in your career, whatever you are and whatever you plan to do. Jesus is saying to you this morning, hello. He's calling you by name. He said, I want to come home with you today. When you leave that little congregational church, I'll go home with you. I'll stay at your house. I'll change you. I'll give you something that will motivate you to live for God and for others so that you will be a blessing wherever you go. If he can do that when he goes to the home of a villain and a crook and a cheat and a nobody care kind of, a guy with a mask on, take off the mask. Zacchaeus, hear your name. Zacchaeus, come on. I'm coming to your home to stay with you a while. Only in our case, it's to stay with you forever. Do you say, help me take off the mask?
I want to trust. I want to obey. I appreciate and I evaluate what you can do in my life. Lord Jesus, do it now. Do it now. Right across this congregation, Lord, as we stand here simply, take off our masks as we stand before you and give us a new way of living, your way. Help us to trust and obey. So the Lord bless you, keep you, make his face shine on you, be gracious to you, go home with you, and grant you now to know his peace. In Jesus' name, amen.